friend told you last night, huh?
Jared Gilman. Actually, from John. And yeah, he got a pin put in his leg.
Announce anything before the prayer. You can just pray.
Everyone
is aware. No, so very
well. Yeah, good. And but what was the one last one now? Cobus? No? Okay, fine. This, yeah.
Congregation, and welcome to our worship service this morning. We would like to welcome all visitors who are worshiping with us today, as well as those who are following along online. We pray that we may be blessed as we worship and celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper together. A few announcements from council. The congregation is reminded that the offerings today will be for the work of the deacons among the needy, both locally and abroad. The congregation is informed that there will be excuse me, an extraordinary council meeting this week, Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. to meet with Reverend Rolf Den Hollander. The congregation will be able to meet with Reverend Den Hollander on Saturday and Sunday afternoon, as detailed in your liturgy sheet. As visitors to the Lord's Supper, we welcome also the confessed members of the Chinese Reformed Church. And this morning we welcome Reverend Ben Behrens, Emeritus Pastor of the Brampton Canadian Reformed Church, to lead our worship service.
We read in Psalm 23, a psalm of David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let us now rise to receive the greeting of our God. And in view of Psalm 23, we ask, "In whom do you place your help?"
Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before your throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Amen. Let us respond to this greeting of our God by singing Psalm 100, stanzas 1 and 3. Now adhere to the 10 words of the covenant, God's holy and righteous law, and then sing in response Psalm 25, stanza 2. And God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord shall not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And to make sure that we use the law of our God to express love to God and love to the neighbor, the Lord Jesus, in answer to the question, what is the greatest commandment, answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, for on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. United in prayer. Heavenly God and Father, we have come together again as old and young, as your children, in holy worship of you, to praise and glorify your name, to do so by attentively listening to your word of salvation that speaks about the rescue of us, of sin and misery, and all the calamities that came along with it. And Father, this morning we also may see that salvation in a special way by closely observing and also participating in the Holy Supper, the sacrament as instituted by our Lord and Savior. And Father, we thank you that you will give us today then both an audible and a visible reminder of your great love, of your love and care for us and for your children everywhere, wherever they are gathered in your name. And Father, so we pray, grant them and us on this special day of rest your blessing, so that we may be edified by the power of your Spirit, built up in the faith, faith in you, the only true God, Father, Son, and Spirit, so that we may be willing and ready to live for you in all that we say and all that we do. So Father, grant us then this day a vivid reminder, especially of our Savior, one that will be remembered the rest of the week, and that will motivate us to live before him in gratitude, in keeping with your holy word, in keeping also with your commandment to love you and to love each other. Father, we also pray for a blessing on those unable to be with us today, who because of illness or old age are unable to attend the table of our Savior. We think of the many that are also in special homes? Will you grant them to realize that though in their condition they do no longer have to depend on those visible tokens, that they are assured in the faith, assured that they are saved, assured that you love them, and assured that that satisfying death of your Son Jesus Christ does also apply to them. Father, so we pray for one another. We also pray for special matters such as the Canadian Reformed Teachers College. Will you bless it so that also young men and women may be prepared to become teachers among your people, to teach everything in keeping with your revealed word, with the infallible Bible, so that there may be a purpose to that education and in that way also for the education of our children. Also, thank you that you have granted a successful surgery to Bill Young's grandson, to Jared Young's, as well as for Lila Rapp, who had her appendix removed. Father, we pray for them. Will you grant them complete restoration, and that they also may think about it, that it comes from your fatherly hand, that it is in keeping with what we confess also in Lord's Day 10, that we also be patient in adversity, but also thankful in prosperity and thankful when we had successful operations. Father, we also pray especially for those who are celebrating their birthdays and who have also anniversaries. We especially think of Brother Ko and Kathy Knapp, that you have kept them together for no less than 59 years, many years, through which they could also experience your love and care. And so we ask you then a blessing on their life in the midst of your people here, but also in the midst of their family, that they may continue also to be good examples to us all. That way show themselves to be a God-fearing couple. And the same, Father, we also pray for Brother Case and Sister Rita Biesbroek. Will you also grant them an anniversary also to remember your goodness and mercy in their life, also amidst of your people, amidst of the family. Father, so many things we want to give thanks for, especially also that you have been with us, Sister Tina Versluis, when she had to undergo an operation, and we are very thankful that you have granted her a successful one. And so we also pray for her restoration during this time of convalescence, that she may receive everything necessary, and especially may experience the love of those immediately around her, but also from us all. Father, so convince us then by your Spirit that you take care of us, that you will not let go of us, because we belong to you. We belong to your Son, Jesus Christ, with body and soul, now and forever. So, Father, grant us then your blessing as we use the sacrament this morning by our attendance as communicant members, but also by closely observing the goings-ons as non-communicant members, so that we old and young alike may know once again how rich we are because of your love and mercy in Jesus Christ. So, Father, hear us, bless us as your children, for we do ask it because of him, our only Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us now take our Bibles and we'll turn to the Gospel according to Luke, and we'll read from chapter 22, verses 1, 7 through 20. So that is Luke 22, the verses 7 through 20. Then we read the word of God as follows. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare there. And they went and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after he had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. And that is as far as we will read it. And then we will now sing in response Psalm 133. To you the word of God, as we have read it together in the light of verse 15 of Luke 22, where we read, and he, the Lord Jesus, said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in our text the words of our Savior. He spoke them to the apostles. I have eagerly desired to have this Passover with you before I suffer. Perhaps you remember that at Lord's Supper I was called to administer, we have stressed the importance of those words, with you. It unfolds a threefold theme, a theme also expressed in our form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Remember, the first theme was, he with us. The second one, in logical order, we with him. And as a result, there is also that third one, we with one another. At the last, or that particular Lord's Supper, we answered the question, Whether this word of our Savior was a declaration, a proclamation addressed to his disciples only, or whether it was also addressed to others, to us. And then it became clear that our Savior's proclamation of his eager desire to eat his last Passover was not exclusively addressed to his disciples, but that his words were to mark the Lord's Suppers, those table communions for all times. Table communions with him, the head of the Catholic Church, of which he has made us members. We learn that we have in our text the institution of a sacrament for the New Testament, for the New Testament church, and not just for his disciples. It is a church sacrament, and one in which our Savior was eager to participate. We concluded, therefore, that these words spoken by our Savior at his last Passover were indeed addressed via the apostles to the New Testament as a whole. That is then also to us today. So at this time, we want to draw for a moment the attention to some other words of our Savior as used in our text, words he used with certain emphasis. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This Passover. Yeah, but is the reason for this? Well, considering the time, the hour, there is something special with this Passover. Something that wasn't present with all those other ones, which Christ with or without his disciples had celebrated so far. And a special element is that only with this particular Passover. And that's the reason for this emphatic, this Passover. The first thing that is so special of this Passover, that it is the last Passover, which Christ will eat here on earth. This Passover is his last Passover. And secondly, it is special in the fact that this Passover is the very last Passover, is the one that concludes all those Old Testament Passovers, period. And therefore, every Passover that was going to be celebrated after this particular one would be senseless, would be meaningless, would be useless, without purpose. After this Passover, it no longer carries the significance of a foreshadow, because in the meantime, its fulfillment had arrived. For also that Passover belonged to that frosted mirror, you could say, that dim glass of the foreshadows, on which our brothers and sisters in the Old Testament had put their hope of faith. The dim glass of the foreshadows through which they already saw from afar the reality of its fulfillment. The destination of this dim glass of foreshadows is then also the fullness of time in which it was to be broken up, to be eliminated. Yeah, because of that great breakthrough with respect to that fulfillment, the reality of that fulfillment. And that's also the destination of this particular Passover, which the Savior was now most eager to eat with his disciples. For the rising sun of the New Testament dispensation, of the New Testament period of the church, causes its rays to shine on those shadows and make them, in fact, disappear. So the time for that has now come at this particular Passover. Only a few hours yet, and that Old Testament Passover will have come to a definite close. At this last Passover, about to be eaten by the Lord Jesus and his apostles, is it also being celebrated at the boundary, at the border between the two church dispensations, between the old and the new. And as a result, this Old Testament Passover may not itself cross this border into the new, but has to stay behind with the old, with all those other Old Testament shadows, for they have fulfilled their purpose now. They have done their service. So, beloved, that's what our Savior most emphatically states here. Behold, the new has come, and therefore the old cannot finally be done away with. And that's the reason why our Savior now eagerly desired to eat this Passover with his apostles, with those first members of the New Testament church. The Lord is eager to eat this Passover because he knows and he also proclaims that it is the very last Passover. All further celebration of this Old Testament Passover, as I said, would be useless, meaningless from here on in. And this Passover then finally closes the door on the Old Testament meal of commemoration. This Passover is the final conclusion to it all. And therefore, if something needs to be done yet with a view to this Old Testament Passover, it should be done now. At this time, now when the Savior celebrated this Passover with his disciples, for the time, the hour had now truly come. And beloved, we know that something had to happen. The Lord Jesus from here on in hurried himself along to move away from this Passover of shadows in order to draw that other meal into the light. His supper, the Holy Supper. Yes, the Lord's Supper. And so, beloved, that's the reason why he so eagerly desired to eat this Passover. Because he sees across this Passover the door go wide open to the dispensation of the New Testament church. Yeah, he sees here already all those followers of his, all those members of his Catholic church. He sees it across this new dispensation, the dispensation of its fulfillment. And that's how he also sees us as we prepare ourselves to attend his table today, the table of fulfillment, the table at which we will commemorate what he had to do to bring that Old Testament Passover meal to a definite close. We will have communion, yes, we will have fellowship with him and with his church of all ages when we indeed commemorate his suffering and death on the cross, with the full understanding that it was necessary, that it was the necessary condition to end the last of all Passovers. Absolutely necessary to meet the perfect justice of the Lord our God with respect to our sins, with respect to that original sin back in paradise and all those sins, actual daily sins, with which we are still familiar, even though we fight against them. So, beloved, let us observe then this eager desire of our Savior to eat that last of all Passovers. Yes, let us remember his eagerness to bring it to a close in order to have us now in turn eagerly reach out for its fulfillment as so wonderfully expressed in the Holy Supper, the meal which we are about to attend, about to use in faith, fully conscious of its significance, fully conscious as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup of his suffering and death on the cross as to what happened some 2,000 years ago. All that he had to do when he spoke those telling words to his apostles, the apostles of the New Testament church, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And also consciously commemorate then and remember, well, we use the symbols of bread and wine of what he had to do before he could also say those other words, those most triumphant words on the cross. It is finished. Amen. So let us now respond with the singing of Psalm 33, stanzas 1 and 6. In order that we then now also celebrate the Lord's Supper, let us read first the form for the celebration as we find it on page 603 of our Book of Praise. There we read, "Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper has been instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen to the words of the institution as described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, the verses 23 through 29. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. So let a person examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. In order that we may now celebrate this holy supper of the Lord to our comfort, we must first rightly examine ourselves. Further, we must use it as Christ intended it, namely, to his remembrance. True self-examination consists of the following three parts. First, let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, so that he, detesting himself, may humble himself before God. For the wrath of God against sin is so great that he could not leave it unpunished, but has punished it in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, by the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Second, let everyone search his heart, where he also believes that the sure promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own, as if he himself had fulfilled all righteousness. Third, let everyone examine his conscience, whether it is his sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with his entire life, and laying aside all enmity, hatred, and envy, to live with his neighbor in true love and unity. God will certainly receive in grace all who are thus minded, and count them worthy to partake of the supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment upon themselves. And therefore, according to the command of Christ and of the Apostle Paul, we admonish all those who know themselves to be guilty of the following offense of sins, to abstain from the table of the Lord. And we declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ." And then follows a summary of the Ten Commandments. All who refuse to trust in the Lord alone, or who serve him in their own manner, all who abuse the name of the Lord by cursing or in any other way, all who do not diligently attend the worship services and who despise the proclamation of God's word or the sanctity of the sacraments, all who are disobedient to their parents or to others in authority over them, all who violate human life or cherish hatred against their neighbor and refuse to be reconciled to him, all who are either within or outside of holy wedlock do not keep their bodies pure, and all who by stealing, greed, or extravagance lead a worldly life, all liars, backbiters, and slanderers. Briefly, all who either in word or conduct show themselves to be unbelieving by leading an offensive life. While they persist in their sins, they shall not take of this food, which Christ has ordained only for his believers. Otherwise, their judgment and condemnation will be the heavier. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ, and in doing so we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, And we do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. And therefore we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Let us now consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted his supper, namely that we should use it in remembrance of him. And we are to remember him in the following manner. First of all, let us fully trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world according to the promises made from the beginning to the fathers in the Old Testament, and that he did assume our flesh and blood. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life on earth, he bore for us the wrath of God, on which we should have perished eternally. By his perfect obedience, he has for us fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law. We remember in particular that the weight of the wrath of God caused by our sins pressed out of him sweat like drops of blood falling on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was bound that he might free us from our sins. He suffered countless insults that we might never be put to shame. Though innocent, he was condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He even let his blessed body be nailed to the cross that he might cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. And by all this, he has taken our curse upon himself that he might fill us with his blessing. On the cross, he humbled himself in body and soul to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. Then he called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? That we might be accepted by God and nevermore be forsaken by him. Finally, by his death and his shedding of his blood, he confirmed a new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace, when he said, it is finished, in order that we then might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, during his last Passover, instituted the Holy Supper. He gave the bread and the cup to his disciples in remembrance of him. And he taught us to understand that as often as we eat his bread and drink from this cup, we are reminded and assured of his hearty love and faithfulness towards us. It is a sure pledge that he has given his body and shed his blood for us. Otherwise, we would have suffered eternal death. He nourishes and refreshes our hungry and thirsty souls with his crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as certainly as this bread is broken before our eyes and this cup is given to us and we eat and drink in remembrance of him. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross. It is the only ground for our salvation. Thereby he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has removed the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin, and obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. By this Spirit, who dwells in Christ as the head, and in us as his members, we have true communion with him, and share in all his riches, life eternal, righteousness, and glory. By the same Spirit, we also united in true brotherly love as members of one body. For the Apostle Paul says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. As one bread is baked out of many grains and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, so we all, incorporated in Christ by faith, are together one body. For the sake of Christ, who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall now love one another. And shall show this to one another, not just in words, but also in deeds. Finally, Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper until he comes. We receive at this table a foretaste of the abundant joy which he has promised, and look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, when he will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of his Father. So let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. May the Almighty Heavenly God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this through his Holy Spirit. Amen. To receive all this, let us now humble ourselves before God in prayer and call upon him in true faith. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in this supper we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Do work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we may entrust ourselves more and more to your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that our contrite hearts may be nourished with his true body and blood, yes, with him, who is the only heavenly bread, so that we may not live in our sins, but Christ in us, and we in him. Let us so truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace, that we do not doubt that you will forever be our gracious Father, and evermore imputing to us our sins, but providing us with all things for body and soul, as your dear children and heirs. Grant us your grace, that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves, and confess our Savior. Let us in all tribulation await our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven to change our mortal body to be like his glorious body, and take us to himself forever. Hear us, through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And let us now also profess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith and do so with the Apostles' Creed as we have it in hymn 1. Brothers and sisters, in order that we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, We must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift our hearts on high in heaven where Christ, our advocate, is, the right hand of the Heavenly Father. So let us not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. Before we then attend the table of the Lord, let us sing together, and that is to attend and as communicant members of this congregation and the guests that have been mentioned, let us then sing hymn 59.
Oh,
The bread which we break is communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. At this table, we will read from Colossians 3, the verses 1 through 4. And there we read the word of God as follows, Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That response is the singing of hymn 55, stanza 1.
Thank you.
The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Continue our reading from Colossians 3, and that is then the verses 5 through 11. If then you have been raised with Christ, then put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now he has put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So let us now respond to the second stanza of hymn 55. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood, precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. At this table, we will read the verses 12 through 17 of Colossians 3, 12 through 17, where it says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So let us now sing the last stanza of hymn 53.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now nourished our souls at the table, let us together praise his holy name. Let everyone say in his heart, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And therefore, my heart and my mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord from now on and forevermore. Amen. Let us now unite in thanksgiving. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in your boundless mercy, you have given us your only begotten Son as our mediator. We praise you that he is the sacrifice for our sins and our food and drink to life eternal. We thank you that you give us a true faith through which we may share in such great benefits. Through your Son, you have instituted the Holy Supper for the strengthening of our faith. And we earnestly ask you, faithful God and Father, that by your Holy Spirit, this celebration may lead to our daily increase in true faith and fellowship with Christ, your beloved Son. In his name we pray. Amen. You now then receive an opportunity to bring gifts to the Lord. This is for the needy here and elsewhere. And let us then sing together of Psalm 100, stanzas 2 and 4.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turns his face to you all and he gives you peace.